we are planning to take a look at the trends and big issues facing states and state legislatures, including Wisconsin, in the coming year, pegged to a new report from the Pew Charitable Trusts. We hope to have the guest with us in just a few moments, but we'll throw things up to you at this point. What do you think is the most important issue facing the state of Wisconsin in 2014? Call in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email, talk@WPR.org.
And don't forget, you can always post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page. You can help us get a head start on the issues facing Wisconsin in particular, a lot that the state has been looking at. And you can let us know what's on your mind. What are the big issues in Wisconsin? Are you looking at jobs creation? Are you looking at the economy? Are you looking at the frac sand debate going on? Let us know on our Facebook page.
And is there an issue that will matter to you in the elections for governor? For your state legislators, 800-642-1234 is the number to call. 800-642-1234, or send us an email, talk@WPR.org.
That's 800-642-1234. We are getting close to having our guest, I think. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear from you as we work on that. The issues facing Wisconsin, what matters to you in the coming years? Again, an election year coming up. And what's going to be on your mind as you sit down, you talk with folks? What are you thinking about? What's top on your list that matters here in Wisconsin?
Well, the Pew Charitable Trust released their annual 2014 State of the State series. That's actually coming out throughout the course of the week. Found that healthcare budgets and privacy concerns are among the top challenges facing states. We're joined now by Scott Greenberger. He's the editor of Stateline, the daily news service of the Pew Charitable Trust. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's start with the issue of healthcare. It's been looming large on the national scene throughout the course of the year. What are the big challenges in 2014 that states are going to be grappling with?
Well, there are many states that are still trying to decide whether they want to expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. So that is certainly going to be an issue in those states. Even in the states that have made their decision on that particular point, there will be continuing challenges in implementing the law. As everybody knows, the rollout of the Affordable Care Act was anything but smooth, and so states are trying to fix some of the problems with their exchanges, and also those that are expanding Medicaid are going to have to work hard to integrate a lot of new people into the healthcare system. And then in Wisconsin, of course, you have a little bit of a different situation where Governor Walker is trying to, rather than expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, he's trying to make adjustments to Badger Care in order to provide expanded coverage to more people.
Are we in a big boat in Wisconsin? Are a lot of states doing similar things to what we're doing here?
Well, it's interesting. I think Wisconsin is a little bit of a special case. There are some other states that have not yet expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, but which are considering kind of a hybrid approach to doing that. In other words, they would take the federal Medicaid money, but then use that money to help people buy insurance private insurance on the exchanges rather than enrolling them in Medicaid. And there are several states that are, they would need federal approval to do that, but there are several states that are considering that option. One is Pennsylvania. Michigan and Iowa have already won federal approval for that strategy. Tennessee is another state that's considering it.
And of course, and we'll keep coming back to this, I think, this is going to be an election year in Wisconsin and many of the states you cover in your report. A lot of Republican governors probably don't want to be seen as too affiliated with President Obama's health care plan. Maybe some Democrats even don't want to be too closely tied to the troubled rollout. How's that going to affect how states deal with the issue?
Oh, well, I think, you know, politics will absolutely be a big part of the healthcare decisions that governors and legislatures make moving forward. As you noted, there are several very high-profile Republican governors who are facing tough reelection fights, and Governor Walker is one of those, but also John Kasich in Ohio, Rick Scott in Florida, Tom Corbett in Pennsylvania. All of them are dealing in one way or another with this, or grappling with this issue of Medicaid expansion and Obamacare, and they're treading very carefully, in part for political reasons. And of course, in Wisconsin, you have the added factor of Scott Walker being mentioned as a possible presidential candidate in 2016. So there, the politics is even more complicated.
We invited our listeners to call in and share their top issues for the state of Wisconsin this year at 800-642-1234. And we have Don on the Don in Waukesha to bring one of those issues up. Don, hi, you're on the air. Don, are you there? Don is not there. Evidently, he wanted to bring up the issue of job creation, though. He says manufacturing is potentially a big issue, but the small business creation he wanted to bring up. But what does job creation look like as you look, Scott, at states across the country?
Well, that's going to be a huge issue in just about every state. Many of the states are in the midst of what I would describe as a modest, and many others have described as a modest recovery. I mean, they're not adding jobs at a tremendous clip, but there is some expectation that 2014 will be a slightly better year than the previous couple of years in terms of job creation. Wisconsin, for example, according to an analysis by Moody's Analytics, is expected to add approximately 42,000 jobs in 2014, and that would represent a growth rate, a job growth rate of about 1.49%. That puts Wisconsin kind of in the middle of the pack among the states. I think the exact ranked is 32, but it is certainly better than what the state was experiencing during the recession or the years immediately following it. And also, I think it's important and fair to note that while the U.S. unemployment rate is down to 7%, in Wisconsin it's only 6.3%. So clearly there'll be a lot of push and pull between Governor Walker and Democrats over whether Wisconsin's job creation record is a good one or one that needs to be improved upon. And if I'm not mistaken, Governor Walker also made a very specific promise to add, I think, 250,000 new jobs during his first term. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about whether he has achieved that goal when it comes to the election in the fall.
Another thing we see when it comes to states and jobs is competition among states to bring in job creators. Governor Walker has made pitches in Illinois and Minnesota to try to get businesses to move across the border. Lately, we've seen a big competition among states to bring a Boeing production facility. How big an issue is that for states to try to cherry pick and lure businesses into their borders?
That's a huge issue. Another governor who comes to mind who's been very out front in trying to do that is Rick Perry of Texas, who's run ads in states, other states, trying to convince businesses located there to move to Texas. And of course, there are a variety of ways that that states try to lure businesses. They try to reduce regulation. They offer tax incentives, and those can be controversial as well. I think everybody in just about every state would like to see more jobs in the state, but the question is, what do states have to do to lure those businesses within their borders, and whether it's worth it? So I think that is likely to be a very big part of this job creation debate in 2014 in many states.
And you end up having dueling tax codes, kind of, as states bandy those about, or the higher tax states say, yeah, well, you pay a little more, but we've got a better lifestyle, quality of life for your workers. Is it hard for a business to compare that kind of apples and oranges?
I would think that it is, yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of different factors. I mean, we mentioned regulations and taxes, but yeah, weather factors into it, the education systems of various states, and the ability of a state to produce the sort of skilled, educated workers that a company might need. All of that factors into those sort of location decisions.
And again, let's bring it back to elections 2014. Job creations, you mentioned Governor Walker's job pledge. These are issues, I imagine, that are going to be in state elections around the country.
Oh, absolutely. I think that even with the recovery of many of the jobs lost during the recession, and I believe the country as a whole has replaced something on the order of 80% of the jobs that were lost during the recession. You know, that's not all of the jobs, and there are still many, many people who are unemployed. The big debate here in Washington today, of course, is over the extension of or whether to extend unemployment benefits that have expired. So I think that jobs will continue to be at the very top of the agenda in all of the or one of the top issues in all of the political races around the country.
And do you think it'll even trump the health care issue that we started with?
That's it's tough to choose one. I'd say if I had to pick the two biggest, it would be those two. Health care, of course, affects many, many people in a very personal way, and it also has a lot to do with state budgets, and both now and moving forward. And so I think that those are two issues that will be prominent in almost every state.
We're talking with Scott Greenberger about the issues facing states and state legislatures in 2014, and we want to hear from you. What do you think will be the top issue states will have to grapple with in the coming year? And what about here in Wisconsin in particular? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're continuing our conversation now with Scott Greenberger about the issues facing states in the coming year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We've touched on health care and job creation. What do you think will be the big issue facing state governments in 2014 and in Wisconsin in particular? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Scott, we have an email from Jeff and Rhinelander who wants to know about collective bargaining. That's been a huge issue here in Wisconsin over the last couple of years. There's been talk about right-to-work laws emerging maybe this year in the state. Where is that on the national map of state priorities?
One of the issues that we're examining this week, but of course that was a gigantic issue in Wisconsin. I guess it's a couple of years ago now, but it also has become an issue in some of the other states that traditionally have been very strong pro-union states, including Michigan, where Governor Rick Snyder has also made steps in that direction. So I think that also could be an issue in 2014. And I think that's related to an issue that we are looking at, which is the fiscal condition of the various states and their budget situations. And while overall all 50 states together have now reached their peak revenues from before the recession, some individual states have not, and I think that many of them will be continuing to look for ways to save money. I know in Wisconsin that the most recent biennial budget includes, I think, a $650 million income tax cut, and the passage of the budget in Wisconsin, this current budget, was a lot less contentious than the last one. I think that holds true in many states because, generally speaking, their fiscal situations are improved, but certainly they will be continuing. Things are still tight, and I wouldn't describe most of them as flush, and therefore they will continue to be looking for ways to save money, and certainly that could lead to disputes with various public employee unions and other unions in 2014.
Let's go back to the phones now. We have Saeed with us in Green Bay. Saeed, hi.
Yes, I think your speaker was referring to the fact that jobs have come back, but what he's not taking into account is that high-paying jobs have been replaced by low-paying jobs, and American prosperity is significantly down. You can see evidence of that all over, and I think the root cause of that is the health care law. The health care law's impact on employment is going to be felt very deeply. I personally carry a high-deductible insurance. I'm willing to pay for the first $10,000 of my medical care. My premiums went up 40% on a very high deductible insurance policy.
All right, Saeed. I don't know, Scott, if you want to get into the causes behind the changes in the nature of jobs, but the nationwide transition, probably mostly here in the manufacturing Midwest, or formerly manufacturing Midwest, from higher paying jobs to lower paying jobs, that's got to be something that weighs on tax bases of a lot of states.
Well, I think that is true. nationally, many of the jobs that are expected to be growing most rapidly in, over the next 10 years or so are healthcare jobs, but some of them are low, relatively low-paying healthcare jobs, personal care aides, those sort of jobs. And the combination of bringing many millions of people under health insurance as part of the Affordable Care Act, combined with the aging of the U.S. population, makes it likely that the need for healthcare jobs will continue to be pretty great for the foreseeable future.
Another topic you cover in your reports from the Pew Centers is gay marriage. And there's been a big change there from two states with legal gay marriage just a handful of years ago up to 17. Are we going to see more movement on that front around in states around the country this year?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've written, obviously, there's been a tremendous change over the past several years, and not just, well, it reflects the equally dramatic change in people's attitudes nationally toward that issue. I mean, there's been a tremendous transformation in how people view same-sex marriage. But that said, a lot of the states that have not approved it yet are states where public opposition remains pretty strong, or they are states where there is some sort of legal or constitutional prohibition against same-sex marriage. So we are predicting that for the foreseeable future, that this very rapid kind of turning that's happened over the past 2, 3, 4 years might slow down. Now, of course, it's unpredictable because who would have thought that Utah would be a state in the news or at the forefront of the same-sex marriage issue anytime soon? Some people might have guessed it would be the last state. And yet here we are with that emerging as an issue in that state. So I think that people's views are changing so quickly on that issue that it's very difficult to predict what might happen. But I think it's fair to assume that it will continue to be an issue that is debated in state houses and in the public square in states around the country.
As I recall, Wisconsin, when we got our constitutional amendment forbidding gay marriage in the state, That was a wave among a lot of states of passing that kind of constitutional amendment where it was possible to do so.
That's right. There are many states that have those, but now the wave is heading in the other direction. So it's really a fascinating issue. It's difficult to think of another issue where the public's views have changed so dramatically and rapidly in such a short amount of time.
Another part of your report concerns privacy. At the federal level, of course, the NSA revelations from Edward Snowden have a lot of people thinking about government surveillance, government tracking of data, of our information. How does that affect the states? That isn't something I would have thought of.
Well, it's interesting. States and state lawmakers can't do very much about the NSA, which of course is a federal entity, and that debate will play out in Washington around the country. But there's not much that state lawmakers can do about the NSA or that kind of surveillance directly. However, there are a lot of other issues related to privacy that state lawmakers can and in all likelihood will deal with, and Wisconsin is certainly one of the states where that's happening. I'm thinking of new technologies such as drones, which many police departments are increasingly interested in using for surveillance and other crime-fighting purposes. And there's a real concern out there about how that technology might be abused or how it might infringe upon people's civil liberties. Similarly, and I think Representative David Craig in Wisconsin is pushing this, there's concern over license plate readers, which are kind of scanners or cameras mounted on police cars or on road signs, which law enforcement can use to record the license plates of cars that pass by and then also the time and location. And of course, that is a way that they can figure out where a certain person is or was at a certain time. And while that certainly has some law enforcement advantages, there are also concerns about specifically how long they might keep that data and what else it might be used for. I believe the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a big piece on that not so long ago. So I think that's something that's very much on the radar screen in Wisconsin, but many other states.
Here's one not part of your report, I don't think, but a listener named Mariette wants Wisconsin and other states to tackle redistricting reform, how we allocate our districts and gerrymander and that sort of thing. Is that something that's coming up in your experience in other states as well?
You know, that is a very interesting issue, and of course that's directly related. Some would say it's the primary reason for the gridlock that we are experiencing here in Washington. I believe that as of that is not one of the issues we look at in this series, but I believe that Iowa and California, I think, are the two states that have turned over that responsibility, the responsibility of drawing districts, to a nonpartisan or bipartisan commission. And there certainly are a lot of people out there who believe that that would be an excellent way to address the polarization of the parties. And the idea is that if the districts weren't drawn in such a way that they were so heavily Democratic and heavily Republican, that the candidates running for office in those districts, both in state for state office or for a federal office, so Congress, would have to appeal to the middle instead of just appealing to their bases, and that therefore we would be electing more moderates who would presumably be more willing to deal with each other once they got to Washington or were in state capital. So I think, again, that's not an issue we looked at, but that's one to watch, because I think that there are an increasing number of people who believe that that could be part of the answer to improving the political climate in Washington.
Briefly, a related issue, we have one-party rule in Wisconsin, Republican governor, Republican legislature. Is that the norm across the country now?
Well, it has been recently. There are 24 states where Republicans hold both the governor's office and both chambers of the legislature, and there are 12 states where Democrats are in that position. And the result has been a flurry of action on a whole host of issues that that the lawmakers in Washington haven't been able to take action on. And I think that it'll be interesting to see whether that trend continues. And, of course, the states that are democratically controlled have gone in a very blue direction on a number of issues, whether it's gun control or even immigration issues, election-related issues, whereas Republican-dominated states have gone in the opposite direction. So that'll be interesting to watch. But it really is a striking phenomenon, and it really accentuates the differences right now between what's going on in state capitals and what's going on in Washington.
Lots to watch in the states this year. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Scott Greenberger. He's editor of Stateline, the daily news service of the Pew Charitable Trusts.